Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
Question: is it really wrong to worry? There is plenty to worry about. The economy, your health, the Middle East, domestic problems including feeding the hungry and the homeless, which few of us really worry about unless we're either homeless or hungry. There are a lot of other things, too. But can we help worrying any more than we can help our hair thinning out? Or what happens to our good looks after age 50? It's my nature to worry. That's the way God made me. I just can't help it, people say. And I freely admit that I am not always known by the smoothness of my own brow. But I've taken a second hard look at this issue as the result of reading a manuscript written by a friend. He contends that some people can no more help worrying than they can help aging. He believes that some people have a biological propensity to worry, just as some have a tendency toward poor eyesight and a receding hairline. We get it from our parents, he says. While I admit that some people may have more of a biological tendency to worry than do others, can I really go so far as to make the practice acceptable before God by blaming my genetic code, which then would let me off the hook? In either case, I have to confront several passages that clearly make the point that worry is contrary to God's plan and purpose for my life. First, have you noticed that Jesus had a lot to say about the subject in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7? He talked about the birds of the air who are fed by our Heavenly Father. And then he chided the disciples about worrying over their clothes or what they would eat or drink. Now, it's obvious that Jesus considered worry to be wrong because of the power of his Heavenly Father to provide for us as his children. Now, Paul the theologian didn't mince words about this either. He said, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Another translation puts it, "Don't worry about anything, pray about everything." The Greek word that is used by both Jesus and Paul comes from a word that means to be drawn or pulled in two different directions. Now, I can say that both of these are a statement of what God would like me to do, which is a simple impossibility. But I don't really believe that, because what God says he means. I believe that his command, which certainly may run counter to my old nature, also comes with God's enabling. This means, then, that if God says don't worry, there has to be a solution to the whole problem that confronts us. I recognize that I worry because there are situations that I don't like, and I can't do anything about them. So this brings the whole issue of control into the picture. When I'm fully in control, I don't worry. There's no need for it. But if I'm not in control, that's different. The question goes beyond my control to God's. Is he in control of what I can't handle? Now, is there a solution to this problem which we all indulge? I believe there is. Simply put, it is learning to put into his hands what you cannot change. Learning more about his nature and character gives you confidence that he is more than able to take care of the storm in your life. For a starter, jot down Isaiah 40. It talks about God's taking us through the storm. Underline Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in your Bible. This verse talks about trusting him. Remind yourself that he who created the world neither slumbers or sleeps. Turn out the lights and let God take the night shift.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. Visit givetoguidelines.org and become a partner in sharing hope and encouragement in Christ with others around the world. That's givetoguidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for Guidelines for Living.